In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Today is a great feast of the Church because it is the celebration of the triumph of Orthodoxy. If you were here for Orthros, you heard that the historical initiation of this feast has to do with the restoration of the icons. In the late 700s, the icons were restored to the churches after a long protracted battle, theologically and spiritually, with iconoclasts, those who believed that the icons were idols and therefore not worthy of being used in Christian worship. But the history of the church, for a long period before that, from the beginning, and by God's grace, after this triumph of Orthodoxy at that point, continues to use icons, not because they are idols. We do not worship them. The worship, as the fathers teach us, is transferred to the one who is depicted in the icon, Christ, and the one, when it is a saint, who has made them holy. Again, that is Christ. We worship God, we venerate the saints, we venerate the icons. And this is the theological, salvific reason for that. Because that which is not assumed is not saved. If God did not come in the flesh, in the material of this world, it is not saved. And we venerate icons because that is us as Christians professing faithfulness to the belief that Christ came in the flesh and he saved the world. And because he saved the world, everything is filled with his presence, filled with his grace, and is illumined by the light of God. And we are redeemed, and all of creation is redeemed as well. And so the icon is for us the final testament, so to speak, the final revelation to us that the incarnation is true. And therefore, all of creation has heard once again the words that God said at creation itself, it is good. And we give thanks and praise to God for the restored goodness, the recreation of not only our own bodies and our own minds and hearts and souls, but of all of creation. And we understand that all of creation is loved by God and all of creation is being saved by God. We also consider the triumph of Orthodoxy being the evangelizing of the world with Christianity. That the faith was revealed to not simply a small group of people in one small part of the world, but that that was transmitted by the grace of God through the evangelizing of men and women who were faithful to the calling that God gave to us to preach the gospel and to go out and to convert the nations. And in that triumph, there is no triumphalism. There is humility only. As I've said many times before, beggars showing other beggars where we found bread. Going into the world as ones who have been redeemed to find those who are looking for redemption and show them where to find it. As ones who were once filled with sorrow and are now filled with joy. Once filled with fear and are now filled with love. We go with the humility that love for God and love for our neighbor impels within us, creates within us, inspires within us. And so that means then that there is a third kind of triumph of Orthodoxy that we have to pay particular attention to. And that is the triumph of Orthodoxy within our own heart. Because it would be very easy for us to rest on the laurels of the triumph of Orthodoxy historically and the triumph of Orthodoxy geographically, of Christianity around the world, it would be easy to lean upon the laurels of all those who have gone before us in true asceticism and prayer and martyrdom, and to think that what we have received as an inheritance does not require of us asceticism and prayer and martyrdom, does not require of us work. But in fact, it does, lest we stand before God at the judgment and we expect to hear, good and faithful servant, and he says to us instead, I know you not. because we do not have the minds and the hearts and the actions that are the signifiers of having orthodoxy triumph within our own hearts. And so we are called to our own personal repentance, our own personal humility, not just as a church, though that is certainly true, but our own personal humility as well, our own personal repentance. And while there are historical reasons for why the triumph of orthodoxy occurs on the first Sunday of Lent, I think that God has his own reasons beyond those historical purposes as well, in order to remind us, A, as we go into Lent, that our faith can be strong and should be, because God is the Lion of Judah. God is the one who holds within his hands life and death. God is the one who gives to us salvation, and he does so as a loving God, the great benefactor of mankind. And therefore, we can be confident and have courage and boldness before God and before man and before our own self in our asceticism during the Lenten period. But it is also a reminder to us, because it happens during Lent, that the triumph of orthodoxy always starts with repentance. And it always entails humility. It always looks for the conversion of our own heart. Because what people around us look for is not what our words may say, but what our actions say. What our heart says when we confront another person with compassion or not. Whether we bring love to them or not. People look to find out if we are ourselves icons of the one true God. Because that is the ultimate triumph of orthodoxy. Not that a piece of wood, which has been saved by God, is able to bear upon itself the image of the Son of God, but that this flesh, this vessel of clay, can itself bear that image. That this is able to become an icon. That your flesh is able to become an icon. That is the triumph of orthodoxy. And that is why the world still waits for us, because the triumph of orthodoxy is not complete. If it was, the whole world truly would be orthodox. There would be no wars. There would be no lost children. There would be no broken homes. There would instead be the kingdom of God manifest in the flesh all over the globe. And so the world is waiting not for our triumphalism, but for the triumph of orthodoxy in our own hearts, so that we can be an icon appearing before them, so that they can look at us and say, in the midst of their fear and uncertainty and cynicism and doubt, they look at us and say, now I know. Now I can come and see. Because I see that there's real fruit to orthodoxy. I see something that is real, something that is incarnate, something that is permanent, not a flight of fancy, not a legalism, not a finicky self-attentiveness, but real life. And that is why the glory of God is a person fully alive, because that person is an icon, that person is a saint. That person is the kingdom come into our midst. That person is the triumph of orthodoxy. And if the world is not fully converted, it is because we still need to go back to our repentance. I still need to go back to my repentance. I need to seek humility. And that needs to be the firm foundation for the building up of the icon that God desires to build and to make within me. So we can, with great faith and joy and thanksgiving, celebrate the triumph of orthodoxy, because we have the testimonies of the truth, the reality of the incarnation. And we can celebrate the fact that Christianity has been preached to the world. And we can also, at the same time, with thanksgiving and with boldness and courage, thank God that that orthodoxy dwells within us, that truth and right worship and right knowledge dwell within us and are conforming us to the image of God, that are forming us after the likeness of him. We can be confident in all those things so that we can then with boldness repent and be humble and show to the world what it means to be triumphant in the conversion of the heart. May God grant this to us, this conversion of the heart in our life every single day, that we wake up at the beginning of the day and we say, we thank you, O Lord, that you have not allowed us to die in the midst of our weakness and sleep, but have raised us up again in the morning. You have given to us a fresh day, and this day is glorious with your presence and the possibility that today your truth will be born within me and become triumphant, and I will be irradiated with the light of your image to the world that I encounter. May God grant this to us this day and every day. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Forgive me.